Resorts, homes, and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
We need to be prepared for the future.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
And make sure everyone's safety comes first.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Clearing roads, restoring critical infrastructure.
Eventually, I know it's going to hit. It's only a matter of time.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Hello and welcome to Pacific Prepared. I'm Fred Hooper. We've got a great team of reporters who are on the ground chatting to you, and the stories that we bring you could help you, your family, and your community prepare for natural disasters. The weather and how it affects you is already part of your life. So let's keep talking about being prepared. On today's show, how one province in Papua New Guinea is creating a disaster response plan. We'll hear what effect that will have on disaster responses. It's been a challenging year for Tonga. Our reporter takes a closer look into something that everyone depends on in some way, the agriculture sector, to see how they've coped and how they're planning for natural disasters moving forward. Last week, the national budget was handed down in Fiji, and as part of those announcements, something to fight against coastal erosion in Nandi. That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
I wonder how you feel about living with the possibility that a natural disaster could hit at any time. I'm sure it's challenging, and in most cases, probably very stressful. But if you knew there was a plan in place, I wonder if it would make things just a little bit easier for you. One province in Papua New Guinea is trying to put plans in place to make sure that the community is ready if something happens. Pacific Prepared, PNG-based reporter Diane Waketsi has this story.
Situated in the most eastern tip of Papua New Guinea, the maritime province of Milne Bay has become the first to develop a provincial disaster response plan in the country. Milne Bay stands out as the largest maritime province in Papua New Guinea, and the development of its disaster response plan is a step in the right direction. This will now mean that the province will be better equipped to respond to any disaster situation. Pacific Prepared spoke to Disaster Coordinator for Milne Bay Province, Stephen Tobesa, about the recent launch of the Provincial Disaster Plan. He tells Pacific Prepared the Milne Bay Provincial Disaster Risk Management Plan and Standard Operating Procedures, as it is called, was first introduced in 2004. However, it took much longer for the province to finally develop this plan, as he explains.
This plan began in 2004. However, it was shelved and was reopened in around 2008. Maybe, I'm not sure, I'm just assuming, due to funding constraints and also manpower resources, it was shelved yet again and reopened. I joined the administration in 2014, and in 2019, it was reopened. We went back again, we meaning the provincial administration through disaster office, in partnership and collaboration with National Disaster and International Organization for Migration. We completed the first draft, which was vetted, and then in the same year, it was sent through, the vetting process began with National Disaster Center and International Organization for Migration, IOM. And finally, it was passed in 2021. It was passed through the Provincial Executive Council. And in November of the same year, 2021, just last year, it was officially launched. Okay, so that's how long it took for the provincial government to come up with a disaster preparedness or disaster risk management plan and standard operating procedures. Now we, Milne was the first province to have the plan.
That was the disaster coordinator for Milne Bay province of Papua New Guinea, Stephen Tobesa. Mr. Tobesa advised that they are yet to trial the disaster response plan for the province. While the plan is yet to be set in motion, he is confident that authorities can be able to deal with any form of disaster when it hits the shores of Milne Bay province.
We have not actually tested it. The intention is to do an exercise, a dummy run, if you like, using the plan. We have not gotten down to doing that as yet. So we have not tested the plan as yet. The plan covers all natural disasters, including man-caused disasters. And in Milne Bay province, we have a lot of natural disasters. Some they don't experience in other parts of the province. The plan covers all these disasters. The plan covers what we call the disaster management plan, where the areas of focus is in prevention, mitigation, preparedness, response, and recovery. And so that's what the plan covers, but it also includes other stakeholders in addressing this, both at the provincial level. Some organizations, faith-based organizations, included in there, civil society, and of course at national level, where they need to come in, they come in. Specifically, this plan is for the province, Milne Bay province. Again, we have not used it as yet. So we, as I said in the previous question, we have yet to dry run it by way of an exercise or a dummy run in preparation for any natural or man-caused disasters. Thank you.
Again, you just heard Stephen Tobesa, the head of the disaster office in Milne Bay province of Papua New Guinea. Mr. Tobesa told Pacific Prepared, the main focus of the plan is to ensure that Milne Bay province is able to manage all levels of disasters during and after a disaster.
Stephen Tobesa, the head of the disaster office in Milne Bay province of Papua New Guinea. He was speaking there with our Papua New Guinea reporter, Diane Waketsi, about plans that are being created to help keep communities safe if there's a natural disaster.
It was a terrifying night. It was shaking and getting pounded by debris.
We had to make sure that they have a safe shelter and drinking water.
Helping you stay safe, Pacific Prepared.
You're probably used to cyclone season and what it means for you, but when you hear the warnings on the radio or television, I wonder if it all makes sense. Some of the weather lingo can be a little dry and confusing. Anasiu Falakono from TBC Tonga unpacks all the warnings and what they mean for you.
Helping you stay safe.
Pacific Prepared.
When we are talking to friends and family and there are forecasts of a major weather event coming, you'll hear lots of words and phrases tossed around. But often those words have official and very specific meanings, and if they are misused, innocently or accidentally, it can create dangerous rumours and misunderstanding. So here are some common terms used to describe extreme weather and cyclone season. Try to imagine events you have lived through and where on the scale they would be placed. If the forecast warns of a tropical low, you can expect strong winds. Large waves will begin to form. White foam crests will be more extensive from breaking waves. White foam will blow in streaks along the wind direction. Expect strong winds to cause negligible house damage to old thatch houses and some garden crops like banana trees. Whistling will be heard in power and telephone wires. whole trees will be in motion. If the tropical low becomes Category 1, winds become gale force. That means they will reach speeds of between 90 and 125 kilometers per hour. Given a Category 1 tropical low, expect moderately high to high waves of greater length and dense streaks of foam. Twigs will break off trees. Slight structural damage will occur, such as roofing dislodged, larger branches breaking off, and garden crops being damaged. If a Category 2 event is forecast, expect storm force winds of between 125 and 164 kilometers per hour. A Category 2 storm brings very high waves with overhanging crests, dense white streaks. The tumbling of the sea becomes heavy and visibility is affected. Considerable structural damage can be expected, such as trees uprooted. There will be heavy damage to some crops. Category 2 brings high risk of power failure. A Category 3 event brings destructive hurricane force winds of between 165 and 224 kilometers per hour. It will bring phenomenally high waves. The sea will be covered with long white patches of foam. The air filled with foam and spray, and visibility will be very seriously affected. Some roof and structural damage will occur. Some local thatch houses will be destroyed. Power failures are likely. A Category 4 event brings very destructive hurricane force winds between 225 and 279 kilometers per hour. Waves will be phenomenally high, the sea covered with long white patches of foam, the air filled with foam and spray, and visibility very seriously affected. Expect significant roofing loss and structural damage. Many thatch houses will be destroyed and blown away. Debris will become airborne and dangerous. Widespread power failures should be expected. A Category 5 event brings catastrophic hurricane force winds of more than 280 kilometers per hour. Prepare for phenomenally high waves, sea covered with long white patches of foam, air filled with foam and spray, and very seriously affected visibility. A Category 5 storm is extremely dangerous and will cause widespread destruction. To be prepared for disaster, you need to understand what official terms mean and what you can expect. This information was sourced from the Vanuatu Disaster Management Office on the official website. There are pictures that show you what to expect in each category, which may help those who do not read or write or have English as a second language. Each Pacific nation has its own emergency procedures. Most can be accessed from your local National Emergency Management Office. Be informed, be prepared.
Anasiu Falakono from TBC Tonga, explaining exactly what weather warnings mean for you, specifically around cyclones.
Save what for dream. You must ready. Pacific prepared.
It's been a tough year for Tonga. The volcanic eruption earlier this year triggered a number of problems, the tsunami and then the following volcanic ash, both impacting on Tonga in all kinds of different ways, including agriculture. Pacific Prepared reporter Anasiu Falakono focused in on this area a little more to find out how things are currently placed midway through the year.
Tonga was devastated earlier this year from the volcanic eruption, and it is no doubt that Tonga is vulnerable to the impacts of natural disasters. Today I am here with the CEO of the Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Forestry, Dr. William Imano. Welcome to Pacific Prepared, Dr. William Imano. It's mid-year, and I understand it has been a rough year for the ministry and the nation as a whole. But so far, how's the operation from the ministry in regards to assisting the communities due to the impacts of natural disasters?
Malo, thank you. I think to start it off, Tonga is ranked second in the world as one of the countries with the most number of disasters within 10 years. So we are ranked second. So we have tropical cyclones every so many years. We have drought. We have tsunami, as we have experienced. Now we have the addition of the volcanic eruption. So in that regards, all our traditional agriculture is designed to be a preparedness. So we have a mixture of root crops and food and tree crops. So in terms of cyclones, the tree crops will be damaged, but the root crops underneath will be the food source for the people. So if there is a drought or a tsunami, most of the root crops, or the root crops, we call it annual crops because you planted it every year, will be damaged. And for some, a degree of safety, most of the tree crops will become the food source. So when I say we look at the traditional agriculture, it's a mixture of crops. And that mixture is the safety for food security in spite of any disaster. So we took the traditional knowledge in agriculture and put it forward. And the other thing is the people are resilient. Resilient, that means they're, because they have experienced disaster in the past, their children, they have become, disaster is part of our life. And recovering is also part of our life. And that was the most fortunate part of the ministry, the work for the Ministry of Agriculture, is because those the characteristics in our tradition and the people of Tonga since time began. So when we start recovering from the impact of the volcanic eruption in January this year, we looked at we differentiated the village that were and the islands that were affected by the tsunami, and then we took another different program of assistance to the damaged by the volcanic ash. So in terms of the islands that were damaged by the tsunami, we did a quick survey using drones. And for some reasons, most of the islands, the cropping area were not affected. For example, like Atata, most of the residential areas are the lower part of the island. And they left the upper part, the higher part of the island for farming. So when the tsunami arrives, it only damaged most of the residential area. Similarly to Mango, similarly to Fonoi, to Tungua. And Namuka was a bit different because in most of their homes they also have a plot of crops close to the house. So Namuka was the only island that was damaged in terms of food crops. Only in the part of Tongatapu that was damaged by the tsunami, that's Ahau, Kanokopolu, and Hatafu. Most of the farming area were damaged. And in terms of residential areas, Kanokopolu and part of Kanokopolu was mostly damaged, and only part of Ahau. So, like I said, we designed two programs, one for the villages and the islands that were damaged by the tsunami, and one for the overall damage of the volcanic ash that were damaging crops, the crops that's all for Tongatapu. Yeah.
In Tonga, with its type of soil and the environment, what is the most vulnerable agricultural produce to natural disasters?
The most vulnerable crops to this damaged by the ash were mostly the yams. All the yams were damaged, yam crops. Watermelon and the vegetables. And some of the trees were damaged, but they recover. For example, Taro Tonga and Taro Futuna, the leaves were dried up, but in the end they recover. Similarly to cassava, etc. So most of the damage was mostly on yams. all the yam crops were damaged, watermelon and vegetables. So what we were proposing to each village, each town, to use the Tongan tradition of tautu, of group farming, so that they will share more on assisting each other, not only for yams, but only for other crops as well.
While working with the communities, what is the main challenge that you face?
This is a very enriching experience for all those that are working from the ministry. Because when you arrive, people are disaster-stricken. They don't want to be disturbed. They have focus either on their house that was damaged or their crops that was damaged. To wake them up, that's a different thing. So usually we wait for a week. We wait for a week or 2 weeks before we start slowly approaching. We won't approach the whole village. We'll approach some of the town officers or the chief, and we start slowly starting to them to get people into a meeting.
So what is needed to be done now in order to help the people be more prepared, as food security is key?
I think this is very much important. Mostly we focus on crops that are planted in the farms. But lately, with our lockdown in COVID since 2020, we start focusing on raising some crops, vegetables, some few trees of bananas in the residential homes. So I think there will be another source of food when the disaster strikes. Because when the disaster strikes, the Ministry of Environment, MEDEC, always advise people to have a food supply stored for 3 days, 72-hour supply. This is because the roads are not has not been prepared. The electricity is off, water is off, water supply is off. So usually that's what they would recommend, is to store food supply for the family for 3 days. So what we were thinking, if we also have crops and poultry, chicken in the homes, it will become a part of that 72-hour food supply.
What are some final thoughts about the significance of being prepared at all times from the agricultural sector in Tonga?
I think at the moment, our grandparents were passing this information or the skills and how to recover in the olden days, but somehow there's this loss of generation gap between this new generation and also what we have learned from the past. I think it's important to learn and revive all those knowledges that we have. So I think from our past, our grandparents have always been advising to always plant a mixture of trees with crops. Instead of planting the whole farm with watermelon or squash, it will also plant trees as well.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Viliami Manu. And that was the CEO of the Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Forestry from Tonga, highlighting the significance of being prepared at all times due to Tonga's vulnerability to the impacts of natural disasters.
Pacific Prepared reporter Anasiu Falakono focusing in on the impact on the agriculture sector in Tonga, especially given how hard 2022 has been so far.
10 minutes after the earthquake, we had a loud bang and then just saw the sea rising up.
Know what to do.
Know what to do.
Know what to do. Pacific Prepared.
Everywhere's got that one place that's really important to their country or their town or their community. Maybe it's the main road in and out, the airport, or a dock. The shipping wharf in Nandi in Fiji could be considered one of those places. It was recently in the news because it's actually under threat from natural disaster and climate change. This is Fiji's economic minister during the budget announcement recently.
$2.5 million allocated for the construction of a retaining wall along the government shipping wharf side of the watercourse. The project will be undertaken in two phases. Phase 1 will be implemented in 2022-2023 financial year, in which 107 meters of retaining wall be constructed to prevent soil erosion, which can cause severe damage to government shipping vessels and the premises. The Nandi River Flood Alleviation Project is pushing ahead despite some delays. Nandi's climate resilience is vital to its residents and the tens of thousands of Fijians working in tourism who rely on the jet-set town as our international hub and indeed our gateway to our country. Physical works will begin on a drainage system in Nandi town proper, and design works for the widening of the Nandi River to reduce flood risks that have been devastating communities along the river on a near yearly basis. The project has been delayed due to COVID, but all efforts are now put in place to expedite the works. This has to get done, Mr. Speaker, sir, and indeed it will. We were there only a few weeks ago, Mr. Speaker, sir, and we saw the devastation. We had one particular village where people used to plant cane, and that 200 metres of cane farm actually is gone. It's now part of the river. We're funding that effort through a renewed mix of funding commitments from the Japanese and Australian governments, along with $5 million in government funding. Discussions will also be held with the World Bank to gauge the interest in the project funding.
Fiji's Economic Minister, Ayaz Sayed Kayum, speaking during the national budget announcement recently.
Being prepared is to save lives, to save properties,
helping you stay safe.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific Prepared is supported by the Pacific Media Assistance Scheme with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of PACMAS or the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, NBC Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Capital FM 107 Vanuatu, Samoa National Radio 2AP, and TBC Tonga. If your organisation is working in disaster preparedness or resilience, keep us informed so that we can keep everybody informed. Maybe you've got a story idea, a personal experience to share, a topic to cover, or someone that we should meet. The easiest way to get in touch is to search for Pacific Prepared and then hit the Contact Us button. You can also listen back to the program. Just type Pacific Prepared into your search engine and you'll find us. We're also available on the ABC Listen app. Have conversations about disasters. What would you do and how will you prepare? We're trying to help you make the next disaster easier for you and your family. My name's Fred Hooper. Please share any information that you've learned today and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.